Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Do you hear that, people? There's a little bit of a pep in my step here tonight. Back on The Fan. All things feel right. It's been a long time coming since you all have gotten to hear this voice in crystal clear FM after 6 o'clock. Welcome. If you're just picking the kiddies up from practice, you going to the grocery store picking up dinner, I got you for the next 3.5 hours. We'll do it the right way. Wes behind the glass taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. There is a heck of a lot to get to. Busy, busy, busy day here in our nation's capital. And we'll cover it all over the next 3.5 hours. We'll touch on the Washington Commanders, give you the latest from Ashburn. I was out there, boots on the ground, in command land this afternoon as the team gets geared up for a pivotal matchup against the Atlanta Falcons coming up on Sunday. We'll get to that in great detail as we roll throughout the show. Will Dawkins spoke this afternoon. Basketball does exist here in our nation's capital. Our pal Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network going to join us top of the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on what Will Dawkins had to say. Media day for the Washington Wizards coming up on Monday. Training camp starts next week as well. Hoop season is upon us, ladies and gents. So we'll talk a little bit of Wizards before we get out of here. The old Washington Nationals, as they get ready to wrap up their season. About Jeff Passan dropping a passing bomb earlier this afternoon, reporting that the Nats are finalizing a deal to name Paul Toboney as their new head of baseball ops. 35-year-old, one of the best young up-and-coming talent evaluators in all of Major League Baseball. I'm going to wear it on my chin here for a second because you all know I said it with my entire chest. I thought they were going to just take the interim tag off of Mike DiBartolo. I thought that was the way they were going to go. When you let him handle your draft and you let him oversee the draft, I thought that was the direction that the team would go. Obviously, they did not. And the Nats hiring one of baseball's rising front office stars, man. Ownership taking a big-time swing with this move, and we'll see how it ultimately plays out. A lot more to get to as we roll throughout this program as well. We'll take a spin around the National Football League. I'll bring you a fresh installment, Anel's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL. I want to start here, though. The latest from Ashburn. I was out there this afternoon, and we got a little bit of an injury update on our wide receiver, Terry McLaurin. If you're not hip to the situation, let me get you up to speed. Real quick here, Terry McLaurin got hurt in Sunday's win against the Las Vegas Raiders. Quad injury. Late in the third quarter, he did not return to the ball game. It was reported yesterday by Adam Schefter that McLaurin's status for Sunday against the Falcons was, quote, uncertain. Terry McLaurin's going to get a second opinion on this quad injury. And right now, everything's kind of up in limbo. We'll give you the Commanders' injury report from today's practice session coming up here momentarily. But here is Here is NFL Network's Ian Rappaport on the latest with Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin, their star receiver, who garnered so much of the headlines this offseason because of his hold-in and his contract demands, eventually got a contract but didn't practice, and then, surprise, surprise, he starts pulling muscles. This happened. He is dealing with a quad injury. My understanding is the status for this week is very much in doubt. Would not be surprised at all if he missed the game, but he has been getting a variety of opinions to see what is best for him health-wise.
Terry McLaurin getting a second opinion on this quad injury, and bottom line is this, the injuries are beginning to pile up here in the nation's capital for the Washington Commanders. The injuries are beginning to pile up. So Terry McLaurin, his status is in doubt. John Bates, Noah Brown, did not play Sunday versus the Vegas Raiders. Will Harris, you lost him for the foreseeable future with a fractured fibula on Sunday. And then we know against Green Bay, you lost Dietrich Wise, you lost Austin Eckler, and then you already had Jonathan Jones on injury reserve. So safe to say that the oldest team in the National Football League dealing with the injury bug, something they didn't have to deal with at all last year. Here is what I will say as like a glass half full type of approach here. And I know, shocker, Linnell's looking at something with the glass half full rather than the glass half empty. I know how you all think out there. Here is my silver lining with the injury situation before we get into McLaurin in full detail here. You didn't have to deal with the injury bug last year. We knew that wasn't going to be the case this year. It's just inevitable that guys are going to go down. Here is what I will say. Better that you're having a rash of injuries in September rather than November and December is how I would put it. You want to be as healthy as possible when you get geared up for the stretch run of your season, when you have all the difficult teams on your schedule, right? That's when you want to be your healthiest, and it's honestly when you want to be playing your best football as well. So while I am disappointed by the injury situation, it's unfortunate. You feel for the guys in the locker room. And talking to some guys in the locker room today, like, they're hurting for their brothers. Got the chance to catch up with Jeremy Reeves for about 10 to 15 minutes. And his perspective on this is unique. He's someone that's dealt with a season-ending injury before. But now his opportunity on this Commanders defense comes by way of one of his brothers going down, talking about Will Harris. So just appreciating his perspective and having things come full circle. Bottom line is this, though, for the Washington Commanders, when it comes to their injury situation. Better that this is happening earlier, but on the same token, I keep it 8 more than 92, y'all. This is what I do. I am real through and through. I'm objective. I'm honest. I'm opinionated. I'm going to do the job. I don't love the depth of this football team. Straight up. There are some spots you can get by with. Others you need outside help if you suffer a rash of injuries. And the injury is starting to pile up for this group. We'll see how they overcome it. We're just getting rolling, though. Here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime, you're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Number to call us, 1-800-636-1067. If you want to keep the conversation going on social media, same handle on each and every platform. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will get you the latest injury report for your Washington Commanders, who practiced and who didn't on the first practice of the week. That is next, Sarah the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
one 800 636 1067 is the number. Tapped into the Youngest and Charles and O'Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. We'll let you hear from the head coach of your Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll also get you the latest injury report for your Washington Commanders as they get geared up for Sunday's contest against the Atlanta Falcons. And I've been saying this really since the middle end of training camp. The month of September, I guess after the preseason wrapped up is when I really started to lean into this heavy. The month of September to me for this group is about figuring out who and what you are. The month of September for this group is about finding out your identity. Who are the 2025 Washington Commanders? And through 3 weeks, I think this group has shown you a lot of good, and they've shown you some things that'll make you scratch your head and have question marks moving forward. As far as the injury situation goes, if you're just now joining us, I'll reiterate my thoughts here. As far as the injury situation goes, you knew it was going to happen. You got so lucky last year with your injury situation. And I honestly give Dan Quinn and company credit. I think there is a preventative maintenance that they executed last year to perfection that allowed them to not get hit by the injury bug. Not to say that they're not doing the same thing this time around. Their luck just hasn't been as good. But here is what I will continue to say about the injury situation in D.C. Better now than later. Better now that you deal with this rash of injuries rather than November and December when it's crunch time, when it's pole positioning time to figure out, hey, are we going to be a playoff team or not? Are we going to win the NFC East or not? Are we going to get a bye week potentially or not? That's when you want your team to be the healthiest. So the fact that they're nicked up right now, not a massive deal to me. But as we ease our way into this 7 o'clock hour, I do want to put this under the microscope of the injuries that they're dealing with. Outside of Jayden Daniels, obviously, the quarterback the most important, clearly. What would be the biggest loss in terms of Sunday? We'll chew on that as we get into the 7 o'clock hour, but My thing is this about the injury situation right now here in D.C. One, better that it's happening earlier than later. I mentioned this in the opening segment, too. Like, the depth of this football team is a very interesting talking point to me. Because I think there are certain positions. I think there are certain position groups on this team that can withstand the injury bug. I think there are certain positions that can handle it. Right? I think the secondary, at safety in particular, we talked about this group coming out of camp as being the group that had the most depth and felt really, really good about. I think corner, did it freeze again, Wes? That's incredible. Corner, corner is a group that I think we all felt really, really good about, especially like, for example, like Noah Igbinoghi, a guy that was your starting slot corner for the majority of last year, is now your first or second cornerback off the bench. So you feel good about the depth of that group. There are other groups, though, that when you see a DNP on the old practice injury report, you go, how do we deal with that? Wide receiver is one of those positions for me. I said this during camp. You all complained and moaned and groaned about it. You said I was set tripping, said I was wilding for respect. No, it's not at all what it was. To me, if Terry McLaurin's got to miss Sunday, I worry how this Commander's offense, and then more specifically, this Commander's passing offense, I wonder how they'll be able to function. Here's what I mean by that. I've always said that the Commanders needed McLaurin more than McLaurin needed the Commanders. Not because Terry's some top three or four wide receiver in the NFL. You just do not have that skill set right now on your roster. What he brings to the table, his best trait, there is no one in that Commanders wide receiver room, in my opinion at least, that can replicate that for you. What is that skill set? That is the ability to consistently stress defenses vertically. He is your deep threat. By hook or by crook, through hell or high water, you know every Sunday, every Thursday night, every Monday night, Terry's going to take the top off the defense. Terry's going to draw the attention of the opposing defense. Point blank. You know this. And last year, through weeks 12 through 18, I've documented it several times here, that was the area that Washington struggled offensively. Last year, for the Washington Commanders, in weeks 12 through 18, you saw why this team needs Terry McLaurin. They were, 22nd in the National Football League in weeks 12 through 18 in explosive pass rate. An explosive pass rate. They need Terry McLaurin to manufacture explosive plays. Because if it's not Terry manufacturing the explosives, who does it? Who does it? That's why I look at this weekend and the potential. Excuse me, let me read you the numbers right. Weeks 12 through 18 last year, they were 22nd in deep pass percentage. They were dead last in explosive pass percentage. And despite this team being 2-1, through 3 weeks, the Washington Commanders ranked 25th in the National Football League in terms of explosive play rate. They are struggling through 3 weeks to generate explosives at a consistent rate. So you take Terry McLaurin out of the equation. Now you really have doubts and reservations about this team's ability to push the ball down the field consistently, to generate those explosive plays, to not be forced to go on these 15, 16 play drives, something that NFL defenses will tell you is not sustainable. We get to the latest on the injury situation from Ashburn coming up on the other side of this break. We'll also let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. All that and more next here on Overtime.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Just getting rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge at O'Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Coming up, top of the 8 o'clock hour, a couple of guests going to stop by the program. Our pal J.P. Finley, who you can hear weekdays 10 to 2 right here on The Fan with future Hall of Famer Brian Mitchell. He'll join us right before he hops on the big screen for All Ears on NBC. Make sure you check that out. We'll get his thoughts on where things stand for the Washington Commanders on a Wednesday, getting geared up for a big-time showdown Sunday in Hotlanta against the Falcons. So make sure you're sticking around for that. I promised you an injury report, so let's waste no time. Let's get right to it. A Wednesday injury report from Commandland, as our pal Chris Russell likes to call it. Your DNPs. John Bates, once again, a DNP with a calf and groin injury. He did not play Sunday. Did not practice today. Noah Brown, I didn't even see Noah Brown in the locker room. A DNP with a groin and knee injury. He did not play on Sunday. Did not practice once again today. Percy Butler, Washington special teams war daddy, also a DNP this afternoon with a hip injury. He suffered that injury Sunday in the game against the Las Vegas Raiders. I'll say this real quick about Percy. With Percy going down, I think that's the real reason why Washington brought in a safety of the caliber of Darnell Savage. He a Terp, former first-round pick of the Green Bay Packers. Percy's been awesome on special teams. I'm not the biggest fan of him as a safety on the defense, but on teams, no hyperbole. Like, he is one of the best special teamers to me already in the National Football League. His speed, his smarts, love the way he plays as a gunner. He didn't practice today with a hip injury. This one is kind of a surprise. DNP Bill. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, Washington's seventh-round running back, DNP with a knee injury. The Bill injury makes me go, not because it's severe. I don't know the severity of the injury if I'm keeping it 100 with you. But this seems like it's like a reoccurring thing, Bill being on the injury report. And I give him the benefit of the doubt, because when you only play one game in your final collegiate season, there is a callus that you build up as a football player where you're able to overcome things and recover a little bit quicker. Not seeing that right now with our guy Bill Kroski Merritt. He was good in his limited work on Sunday against the Raiders. He's special. I'm going to tell you how a T.I. is. To me, he is the most dynamic back that Washington has. I don't think it's very close. I don't think it's much of a debate. Got to keep him healthy. Got to keep him healthy, and this may be something that we deal with all year. I know he's a tough you-know-what. This game, actually, he's going to be itching to play, first of all. They're playing the game in Atlanta. He's a guy that I believe is from Alabama, if I'm not mistaken, talking about his hometown. You know Bill Merritt's got hella ticket requests out for this football game as it's in close proximity to where he is from. And he is... What is the hometown of Bill Kroski Merritt? I think it's Atlanta. I think it's Alabama, if I'm not mistaken. This is why Google is privy to us. Bill Merritt hometown. Wow. So the Society for American Baseball Research popped up. Wikipedia never lies. He is from Montgomery, Alabama. Boom. There we go. I was correct on that. So I think he's going to have a lot of fans in attendance. As a matter of fact, I overheard him talking with a pal, Scott Abraham of ABC7, about, you know, how many ticket requests he's got for this week. Super happy for him. Hopefully, fingers crossed, he is able to go. Your other DNP, Zach Ertz, rest, did not practice. Terry McLaurin with his quad, did not practice. We'll get to him momentarily. Von Miller, a DNP, vet rest day. Deron Payne, a DNP, vet rest day. Laramie Tunsil, a DNP, vet rest day. Two guys were limited. Trey Amos, who left Sunday's game and did not return with a calf injury, he was a limited participant in today's practice. That would be a big blow for Washington. Through the first 3 weeks of the NFL season, I don't think it's relatively close either. He has been Washington's best corner. First three weeks of the NFL season, I don't think it's even close. He has been this team's best corner, point blank. And the way he played this past weekend was awesome once again. If you're going to have to be without him, it's going to be tough. In three starts for Trey Amos, 84 coverage snaps, 42 of those coverage snaps, and man, he's only been targeted 9 times, allowing 4 catches for 41 yards. And opposing quarterbacks have a passer rating of 58.1 when targeting our guy 4K Trey. So, hey, look. I'm just here to bring you the injury report. I'm not panicking. I'm just giving you the info. If he has to miss Sunday, though, or is not 100%, I definitely think it's a big blow for Washington. They didn't, and I haven't seen the transaction wire, but they didn't bring in any corners for a workout, so I would assume Trey Amos is going to be good to go. Jayden Daniels practiced in a limited capacity today with his knee injury. Here's what I will say just from my mini observation for practice. Mind you, during the season, this is my first time going out to a practice during the season, so patting myself on the back for that. I got to keep going out there, by the way. Wes, I ate good, brother, and I should have brought you something back. Guess what we had today?
Barbecue.
Good old Chick-fil-A. Ah, barbecue's great, but good old Chick-fil-A. I always say it's the most expensive snack in America, talking about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, to me, first of all, it's just way overpriced. And maybe it's just because I'm a greedy, big you-know-what. Chick-fil-A, to me, is a snack, brother. Waffle fries? A little sandwich? And by the way, I stopped. As soon as Chick-fil-A dropped their mac and cheese, which I think is top five in the fast food industry right now, I stopped going waffle fries. I go mac and cheese. I go number one, classic, piece of pepper jack cheese if I'm feeling spicy. Then I'm going Polynesian sauce. If you're a Chick-fil-A sauce user, there is a hotline that you can call to get help for that. Wes, do you agree with my take that Chick-fil-A is an expensive snack?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you're not a Chick-fil-A guy either. You're not getting full off of Chick-fil-A.
No. Too much, what is it, MSG?
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, too much.
Woke folks unite. Let me not say that ever again. But back to the injury report for the Burgundy and Gold. Jaden Daniels, this is why I went the whole Chick-fil-A route. I got sidetracked. Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah, we got Doc Walker walking our
way. When watching practice during this time of year, there's really not much that you can take away from it. Jaden practiced in a limited capacity. I will say this from my vantage point. I didn't see him do a damn thing. He participated in pre-practice, throwing the ball in the net. And then when it was time for them to do their pre-practice QB install, the order was Marcus Mariota, Josh Johnson, and I did not see Jaden Daniels throw any passes during that portion of practice. So we will see, and we will continue to monitor the injury situation for one Jaden Daniels as we continue to roll throughout the week. Also listed on the injury report is one Colson Yankoff, who was awesome, badass, on Sunday as a special teamer and arc releasing as a blocker on Sunday in the run game. He was pretty good there as well. So as far as the injury report, you can line up on the phones with this at 1-800-636-1067. Of all the injuries I just listed, all the DNPs, no John Bates once again with a calf, no Noah Brown once again with a groin, no Percy Butler because of a hip, no Bill Merritt because of a knee, no Terry because of a quad, Amos limited with a calf, Daniels limited with a knee. Outside of Jaden Daniels, which injury would be the biggest loss for Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons? 1-800-636-1067. The clear and obvious answer I know is one Scarence Terrence, one Terry McLaurin. If he has to miss Sunday against Atlanta, I've already said it several times here in the opening 30 minutes of the program. If he has to miss Sunday against Atlanta, I have real doubts and reservations about this Commanders passing offense and their ability to function on a down-in, down-out basis. Tell how T.I. is. I'll be very honest with it. My question is, if you don't have Terry, what is your game plan? And I know there are folks out there that go, well, no, he's only got one touchdown to this point. He hadn't done much to this point through 3 weeks. I get it. The value of Terry McLaurin, and I've already said it numerous of times here, is you just don't have another Terry in this building. And someone tweeted at me earlier and said, well, Jalen Lane ran the kickoff back 90 yards. He's your deep threat. I can't believe I have to explain this, but just because you're fast on punt doesn't mean you're fast on at wide receiver. There's so much nuance to the wide receiver position. There is so much nuance to the wide receiver position that while I think Jalen Lane at some point will be a legitimate deep threat in the NFL, I don't know if I can trust him yet to this point to be that guy. So that is why, to me, having Terry McLaurin is so important. The other part of it is this. This Commander's rushing attack has gotten off to a absolutely tremendous start. This Commander's rushing offense has got off to a tremendous start. Every metric that you look at, they are amongst the top in the National Football League. They're second in the NFL in terms of rush yards per game. They're tied for first, or they are first in the NFL in terms of rushing yards per play. In terms of EPA per rush, Washington fifth in the National Football League. In terms of rushes of 10 or more yards, Washington tied for second in the National Football League. Your ability to run the football, to me, it becomes more difficult when you don't have Terry. Because guess what? If I am a opposing defensive coordinator and I don't have a wide receiver on the perimeter that I have to respect, you know what I'm doing? I'm playing single high safety looks. I'm putting 7-8 guys in the box, and I am daring you to throw the football. It is much more difficult to run the football into stacked boxes. And some numbers for you. And these numbers kind of shock me, honestly. Washington has ran into a stacked box the fifth most in the National Football League. They get stacked boxes the fifth most in the NFL. So teams are already starting to bring an extra defender in the box to play Washington that way. It happens at a much higher clip, in my opinion, once you lose Terry McLaurin on the outside. I want to get to the phones on this, though. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Just listed off the injury report. Outside of Jayden Daniels, who missing Sunday would be the biggest loss for the Washington Commanders? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Reggie in D.C. wants to chime in. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, Boogie.
What's going on, brother, man?
It's been a while, man. Look, man, you're bugging, man. Trey Amos. We got Drake London. We got Kyle Pitts.
I know.
We got Bijan. Hey, listen, man, I need all my horses on defense against the Falcons.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be a little bit hyped up, you know, just losing 30 to nothing.
Hey, look, Reg, they just got their ass whipped.
Yes.
So, for sure, yes, they're going to be bitter and upset. I agree. Yes.
Now, I get the Terry part of it, but I'd like right now, and again, I think he's going to turn it on. I'm just not seeing his impact. And, of course, again, coverages are going to be different, you know what I mean, with him out there. You're absolutely
right.
You know
that's what I'm going to, though, Reg. Every time people ask me that question, because, you know, people are jumping in my DMs saying, Linnell, why are you overreacting to Terry McLaurin potentially being out? What has he done at this point? You know it, Reg. You know ball. He dictates coverage. He determines what type of looks you're going to get because he's a respected deep threat in this league.
He absolutely is. However, the Raiders, again, you can say what they want about their defense. You know, they do got Max. They was putting 8 in the box, and we still had on a hat. And remember, the quarterback makes it even because his ability to run.
For sure.
So you have that extra safety in the box, which is true, but it's not conventional because now we got the quarterback, which is that extra. Now, again, I'm good with Mariota for, you know, 2 to 3 games. You know, that's his limit. If Jayden is there, and I don't want Jayden to be out on that field unless he's 100%.
Yeah.
To me, I got to get Trey because I'm scared
Igbinoghi,
oh, my. He can't take Drake. That's 3 pass interference penalties that you can
pick. At least.
And then Marshawn Lattimore. Because, you know, Drake is physical. So I need Trey,
I actually like Marshawn Lattimore on that matchup. Reg, I appreciate you as always. But look, you know you can catch me weekdays 4 to 7 over on the Team 980. I'm just telling you, Reg. I haven't heard from my guy Reggie in a while, man. But look, I think Reg brings up a good point. And I kind of just gave you the numbers. On Sunday, Washington ran into stack boxes a lot. You're able to do it, though, when you're in these condensed tight formations and you're running 12 and 13 personnel. It allows that. It allows you to accentuate your strengths, which is right now running the football. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Of the injuries right now on the injury report for the Commanders, and I'll go over it real quick again before we hit the break. John Bates didn't practice today. Noah Brown didn't practice today. No Percy Butler. No Bill Merritt. No Terry McLaurin because of the quad. Trey Amos practiced in a limited capacity. Which of those injuries would be the biggest loss for Sunday? We'll take your calls on that. Plus, an Atlanta radio host went Kanye crazy about the potential of Marcus Mariota coming into Mercedes-Benz Stadium and beating the Falcons. We'll let you hear from that crazy-ass host next there on The Fan. one 800 636 1067 is the number. Yeah, tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Tapped in to the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock here tonight. Coming up in about a half hour, our pal JP Finley, who you can check weekdays 10 to 2 right here on The Fan with future Hall of Famer Brian Mitchell for B. Mitch and Finley. He's going to join us at 8 o'clock. We get his thoughts on Washington and Atlanta coming up on Sunday. This is a game that the Washington Commanders should win. I think we all feel that way here locally. This is a game that they should win. I will say this, though. I think the general public is asleep at the wheel. I feel like Grant Paulson saying this. You are tucked in pillows fluffed napping on the Atlanta Falcons. I'm being serious when I say this. I think the general public is asleep at the wheel on the Atlanta Falcons. Here's the thing about Atlanta through the first 3 weeks of the season. I know what the record's going to say, right? The record says, okay, well, they're 1-2. Michael Penix amongst quarterbacks in the NFL, not playing great. They just got blanked 30-0 at the hands of the Panthers. Here's the reality of the situation. In two out of the first 3 weeks, the Atlanta Falcons played really, really good football. At home against Tampa, where they lost on a walk-off field goal, and then on the road against that madman Brian Flores in the Minnesota Vikings, they played really well. Hell, if you go back to Sunday against Carolina, look, anytime you're blanked on the scoreboard, 30-0, it's not good. They were only down 10-0 at the half. Like, this was a game that if you watch, and I've gone back and started to rewatch the Falcons and Panthers game, Falcons were in this one, man. They had a missed field goal to start. Their defense gave up a touchdown drive on the second drive of the game, but then their defense in like four out of the next five drives, they caught two interceptions throughout this game. Excuse me. Their defense in three out of the next five drives forced Carolina to punt. And this Atlanta defense, to me, is a pretty damn good group. I know Raheem Morris is catching a lot of crap on Twitter for the play of the offense, but his side of the football that he's responsible for, guys like Zach Harrison and Leonard Floyd and Caden Ellis, like those dudes are playing well right now, man. Jesse Bates, Xavier Watts in the back end, Billy Bowman, Billy Badass, as I like to call him. First of all, the fact that they were able to draft Billy Bowman, the fact that Billy Bowman fell to the fourth round, it just shows you how stupid NFL scouts are. Anybody that watched him over the course of his career at the University of Oklahoma, Shawty lays the wood, and he is a ball hawk. They've got dudes in this secondary that are athletes that can make plays. Their pass rush with James Pierce and Jaylon Walker, like those dudes can get it going if you allow them to. The big question mark right now for the Atlanta Falcons is what are we going to get week in and week out from this Atlanta Falcons offense? Michael Penix in particular, a guy who I was super high on Michael Penix coming out of the draft. Super high on Michael Penix coming out of the draft. Like, he is a kid that I think has got supreme arm talent. I think he is a young man that is as tough as nails. And he is a winner. He has won everywhere he's gone. He's got all the physical tools. I just think this past weekend in particular against Atlanta, he was not trusting his eyes. He did not trust where to go with the football. The problem that he has had is throwing the football over the middle. When you look at his dot chart of where the ball goes, the middle of the field is completely blank. He does not have a lot of attempts in the middle of the field. He's not seeing it well. It was actually a struggle that Penix had in college at the University of Washington, not being able to throw in the middle of the field. Now, he thrives outside the numbers. He's one of the best deep ball passers in all of college football. I think he throws the out route as good as anybody. But to start this year, Michael Penix just hadn't been good enough everywhere. In every statistical category, like, he has struggled. On the year, one touchdown, two picks, quarterback rating of 71, completion percentage, to me, just simply not good enough. Dude, and this is ugly. He is completing just 58.6% of his passes in the first 3 weeks. It's not good enough. In terms of EPA per dropback, Michael Penix, 28th in the National Football League. Here's the thing, though. I can read you all the numbers till I'm blue in the face. He can play. Sleep on it if you want to. This will not be some sort of cakewalk for the Washington Commanders. And maybe I just respect teams too much, because I felt the same way. To me, it's just like, with this game in particular, and I looked at Vegas like this last week too, I respect every team in the NFL. I understand the mantra of any given Sunday. I just do. Anybody can get got in any week of the NFL season. Going into last weekend, I don't know if there were a lot of people that felt like Carolina had a shot in hell at beating the Atlanta Falcons based on the way those two teams looked in the first two games. A bigger point, right? Green Bay. Green Bay went up to Cleveland and got manhandled up front. No one could have projected that. No one could have expected that. It is a week-to-week league. So just because they lost 30-0 in week two, I think that makes them play even better. They're at home. They should be ticked off and playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, hearing all the noise about their offense and what's not working and so on and so forth. You are going to get a super motivated Atlanta Falcons team on Sunday. I thoroughly believe that. And for all of the doubts and reservations that I have about their offense, their defense is legit, in my opinion. Here are some of the defensive rankings for the Atlanta Falcons in the National Football League on defense. Heading into week number four, the NFL season, the Atlanta Falcons are second in the National Football League in terms of yards allowed per contest. They're giving up 227 yards per game. They're giving up 4.3 yards a play. They've given up 5 touchdowns in 3 weeks. That is tied for the second best mark in the NFL. So they've got the horses on defense to get it done. They've got the horses on defense to get it done. The question is, will their offense complement them enough to where their defense isn't hung out to dry and asked to play a bunch of plays? That's the difference. We know that story here in Washington all too well. It sounds like the Ron Rivera era. Would the offense give you enough for this defense to actually live up to its expectation? But like I said, Washington, and I'm going to go look at FanDuel right now. I haven't checked the duel all day. Let's go look at FanDuel and see what Vegas is thinking about this football game right now with the backdrop that Terry McLaurin's uncertain and that Jayden Daniels' status is up in the air. Wow. Wesley, are you shocked by this? Washington Commanders, just knowing the gluttony of injuries they're dealing with, 1.5-point favorite Sunday.
I am a little shocked.
I think it says a lot about how bad Atlanta is, or how bad Vegas thinks Atlanta is.
Yeah.
Because if these two teams are healthy on paper, I think Washington probably still favored. I actually know for sure Washington would be favored. But with the backdrop of the injuries to McLaurin and then Daniel's status being uncertain, I am a little bit surprised that they're 1.5-point favorites. As we move closer to Sunday, this is always how I am in terms of my emotions. My emotions are going to change a billion different times. This is why people call me a flip-flopper and so on and so forth. I get it. I think big picture, though, I feel like people are sleeping on the Atlanta Falcons. You know who's not sleeping on the Atlanta Falcons? Their radio hosts down in Atlanta. Here is Atlanta radio host talking earlier this afternoon about how they would feel if Marcus Mariota and company marched into Mercedes-Benz Stadium and got a victory on Sunday.
Telling you, I'm looking right in your eye. If Marcus Mariota is quarterback in the Commanders, he is not coming in here to end the Falcons season. That cannot happen in the Benz.
Be careful what you say.
We better
be careful.
Raheem Morris,
what you say,
needs to be careful.
If we lose
about
Marcus Mariota next week,
I'm telling you,
I think Jayden Daniels is going to play. But if we lose to Marcus Mariota, you fire him right then. You fire him. Period. I don't want to hear it after that.
Telling you, I'm looking right in your eye. If
what they're calling. And can you read the call letters of the station, Wes? What is it? I'm going to look at it on my phone here if you can't get to it quick enough.
It is 610.
610 something. It's not an Odyssey station. So they're not one of our
93.7, the Fan. It's not Odyssey.
Yeah, it's not Odyssey. I know I got Carl Dukes down there at 93.7. I think it's the game. I don't even know if it's a fan. I think it's the game down there. But bottom line is they're feeling like if Washington comes in there Sunday with Marcus Mariota and wins. Did you hear what they said at the end? They're talking about firing Raheem Morris 2 years into the gig. year and a half into the gig, if we're being for real. That's ludicrous. That means Falcons, the Falcons think that they should win this game. And notice he said if he comes in there and ends our season. Here's why he said that. Falcons would then be 1-3 if they lose Sunday. And when you think about, one, the juggernaut that is the NFC, and then their own division with Tampa winning the South 5 straight years, if you fall to 1-3, your season, your the hopes for your season start to look bleak. 1-3 teams in the NFL making the playoffs. It just doesn't happen a lot. Since the NFL expanded the field in 1990, 3.5% of teams starting 0-3 have made the playoffs. I want to look at teams that are 1-3 teams to make the playoffs. That's what I want to know. Here we go. NFL teams have started 1-3 and made the playoffs since 1990. So here we go.
There's only been one team to be 0-3 and make it.
Yeah. So since 1990, though, first 1-3, only 34 teams have made the postseason. Only one of those teams won the Super Bowl. And that was, I don't even have it here available. But that's why he's saying what he's saying. They're basically feeling like if they lose, their season is over. Because the odds are very much stacked against you if you fall to 1-3. You know what that means to me? You're going to get a desperate, hungry, feisty Atlanta Falcons team coming up on Sunday. One that you cannot sleep on, because if you do, could bite you in the ass. Are we sleeping on the Atlanta Falcons? 1-800-636-1067. Dez wants to chime in. What's going on, Dez? How you doing, brother?
What's up with you, man? Hey, Linnell. I got to keep it 100, man. Speaking from a guy who, like I tell, I don't remember if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
I called the Saturday before the Giants game, and I told you we was going to beat them. I know you remember that.
I remember.
So this is what I've got to say, bro, because I love everybody on the 106. But it's getting kind of hard, man. Y'all making it hard for me, bro. What's up? Can I just get one host to come on here and just to speak with some bravado and be like, look, we know we're going to take them out. And what's up with all the worry work stuff, man?
Why it's a part of the – look, Dez.
Every week,
it's a part of the job. It's a part of the job. Atlanta, you all act as if there is no Tennessee Titans.
We didn't beat Atlanta the last half of my family is straight up Atlanta fans. They live out here in Maryland. I don't know how they became Atlanta fans, but that's what it is. We've been over their house the last 4 years in a row watching Atlanta game, no matter who the quarterback was, and every year we win. Check the records. We played them the last 4 years straight. I don't even know why, because some of them years we didn't even have the NFC South. But we played them the last 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
And every year, no matter who the quarterback is, we beat them. They can't do nothing with us. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, I'm not going to say that they bust, but they're nowhere near the guys that they were supposed to be. Their defense is always overrated every year. They get Jesse Bates. They get this. They get this. They get that. And what they do? Nothing. Every single year.
So you're saying,
every year, Raheem Morris ain't changing nothing. That's how the Falcons is. When they got rid of Matt Ryan, they cursed themselves. Mm. They should have never did it.
Mm.
That's just how it is.
Des, I hear what you're saying. Vegas agrees with you as well, as they're favoring Washington by 1.5. I'm gonna answer your question off of it, because I think you hit on a point here. He's calling us worry warts, saying that why are we not speaking with bravado, that we're just going to come out and spank them. I think they're going to win the game. If you had to inject me with truth serum, Doc Walker style, I would pick Washington to beat Atlanta. Do I think it is a foregone conclusion? No. That is just the nature of the beast in the National Football League. It is any given Sunday. Anybody could get got any week. So do not fault me for having some doubts and reservations about Sunday, especially when you consider how good Atlanta is on the defensive side of the football. Especially when you consider how good they are on the defensive side of the football. I just gave you the numbers. They're second in the National Football League, Atlanta is, in terms of yards per game allowed. When it comes to the most important category, points per game allowed, Atlanta, 12th in the National Football League. When it comes to touchdowns given up, they're tied for second. This is a formidable group. They got horses on the defensive side. Their offense right now is what is plaguing them. I'll give you this number before we get to our guy, Zach in Falls Church. The Atlanta Falcons have the number one pass defense in football right now in terms of yards per game. So when you talk about not having Terry McLaurin potentially, I'll tell you what the recipe is going to be. Exotic, smash-mouth football. Give me all the za. Give me two tight ends. Give me three tight ends. Give me Trent Scott. Give me unbalanced line. You got to punch Atlanta in the face on Sunday. Because if you don't, and they force you to become one-dimensional, and you've got to throw it around the yard 30, 40 times, you're going to be in a world of hurt. Are we asleep on the Atlanta Falcons? Zach is in Falls Church. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Z?
Hey, Linnell, thanks for taking my call, man.
Yes, sir, brother.
I just wanted to say, man, I am shocked that there is so much optimism around this game. I mean, look, they have played bad, but they are not terrible.
No.
And they can easily get this game. And then, you know, also, we need to be desperate for this because 3-1 is humongous with our schedule coming up. And, I mean, you got the Chargers the next week. I mean, this game is huge, and I just can't believe people are putting us as a shoe-in.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with Zach. You know what it is, brother. Last year, I mean, we were all chasing that high still in terms of how it felt, how fun it was, the idea of, you know, being favored every week. It felt like it was great. I think your point is valid, though, man, especially when you consider, and you know this, Zach, NFL is about matchups.
Right.
Their strength is playing the pass right now. And if we can't run the football on Sunday, and I think it's going to be more difficult to do without McLaurin in the lineup, I think it becomes that much more difficult, to your point.
No, I get that. And you know what? You can hang your hat on this team, you know, hopefully being prepared and having Quinn having them ready.
Yes.
And so I do hear that part, but just part of me can't help but say, you know what? It's an away game, and they need it just as much as we do. But yeah. 3-1, it would just be humongous.
It would, especially when you consider the strength of the schedule. I've been saying it since the end of training camp, end of the preseason, Zach. As long as you get out of September 2-2 at worst, you'll be fine. Because I think when you treat training camp as soft as they did, when you don't play your guys in the preseason, it's going to take some time to get the oil running through the engine. I appreciate you as always, Zach. We'll talk soon, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Are we asleep at the wheel on the Atlanta Falcons? Vegas has us as 1.5-point favorites. A lot of you all out there feel like it is a foregone conclusion that we're going to beat the Falcons. We'll take your calls on that next. Plus, I want to get into some numbers for this Commanders defense. It's a group that's been really freaking good through the first 3 weeks of the season. They've been good in every category but one. I'll tell you what that category is next. This is The Fan. +1 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. Tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. West Behind the Glass taking your calls. If you want to keep the convo going on social media, it is at @NELL_BTP. Getting you geared up for Falcons and Commanders coming up on Sunday. Washington with a big-time opportunity to move to 3-1. And really close out the month of September feeling really, really good about yourself before you enter what I like to call the meat of your schedule, as you got some 2024 playoff opponents coming up on the docket. But this game Sunday against Atlanta, it's just my vibe that I'm picking up on social media, whether it's listening to you all's calls on all the shows that we have here locally. I just get this feeling, and I think our guy Zach, who just called in from Falls Church, feels the same way. People are asleep at the wheel when it comes to just how formidable the Atlanta Falcons actually are. They may have gotten mollywopped, curb stomped, whatever beatdown phrase you want to use. Yes, that happened on Sunday. Does that define who the Atlanta Falcons are? In my opinion, hell to the no. It just can't. The same way that Thursday night against Green Bay doesn't define who Washington is, right? This past Sunday, Atlanta against Carolina does not define who the Falcons are. Because guess what? Sleep on them if you want to. And you'll get humble real damn quick. You cannot fake desperation. You cannot fake urgency. That is what I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to bring to the table on Sunday. That is a group that is hungry. Hungry. Thirsty, I might even add, for a W. That group needs it. They have playoff aspirations. And I gave you all the numbers if you're just now joining us. NFL teams that have started 1-3 and made the playoffs since 1990, only 34 teams since 1990 have started 1-3 and made the playoffs. It does not happen very often. Just doesn't. So, if you are the Falcons, you feeling like it's up this weekend, man. It's now or never. There's no turning back. There is no tomorrow. The battle lines have been drawn. By hook or by crook through hell or high water, you have to win Sunday if you're Atlanta. Or else history says you aren't making the playoffs. Are we asleep at just how good the Falcons are? 1-800-636-1067. Jay is in Centerville wanting to chime in. Jay, your confidence going into Sunday. I think they're going to win, but I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. What say you?
Man, I think we're going to get them. I don't underestimate. I didn't even underestimate the Giants.
Me either.
You know, we can't underestimate it. And you can't underestimate anybody in the NFL. But also, Mariota, we ain't lost with him yet.
Yeah.
We haven't lost with him yet. Mariota been job playing lights out. So, I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, Cliff Kingsbury going to put us a nice exotic package together, man. And DQ going to do what DQ do, man. And we go in there and we win. We going to get the W.
That is the hope. What would be the reaction to a loss?
Calling out from work.
Don't let him mess. Look, Jay. Don't let him mess your coins up, brother, man.
Man, you know what? I did it when we lost the group. Hey, bro, I believe in my squad.
I believe in my squad.
But I be at work, man. I give them the blues in there. And I tell them to let this be a lesson to any of you other non-commander fans. We at a higher place now.
I'm about to say,
you gotta look up to talk to us.
I totally agree, bro.
Like ever since I like what DQ done brought. I like the energy. I love everything about my squad.
And Jay,
I know that boy Bijan Robinson is a dog.
And I'm going to get
underestimate him.
I'm going to get into Bijan in a second here, Jay. I appreciate it as always, brother. Make it home safely, bro. I'm going to get into Bijan. I'm glad he brought up Bijan Robinson. Because here's the thing. That is what concerns me about Sunday. Bijan Robinson is what concerns me about Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. Here's why. This Washington Commanders rush defense through the first 3 weeks of the season, right now, 12th in the National Football League in terms of rushing yards per game allowed. That's marketably better after being bottom five last year. In terms of rushing yards per play allowed, Washington tied for sixth in the National Football League. In terms of runs of 10 or more yards allowed, the Washington Commanders right in the middle of the pack, ranking 13th. They're much better as a run defense. I think every metric would tell you that. You haven't played Bijan Robinson yet, though. That's my only doubt, my only reservation about Sunday. You have been bad ass against the run to start this year. In every metric. Last year, you were bottom five against the run. You have been... You're a top 10 run defense right now through 3 weeks. But my only doubt, my only reservation is you haven't seen a guy like Bijan. You have not played a running back that can challenge you on the perimeter the way Bijan Robinson can.
He's a halfback.
Yes.
He leads the team in receiving yards.
Yeah. So quite literally a halfback because of how important he is to their offense. I think I was telling you as we were getting warmed up, Wes, like, as far as Bijan Robinson goes, he's had over 120 scrimmage yards each of the first three games of the season. Their offense starts and finishes with Bijan Robinson. As a receiver, as Wes mentioned, as a back, as I mentioned, in between the tackles, outside the tackles. He's a threat. He is somebody that keeps you up at night. My question is, how will Washington contain Bijan Robinson? What will be their plan? Because if you can slow him down, you slow down their offense. My thing is this. We know how good Washington's pass rush has been to start the year, right? Tops in the NFL in terms of pressures. Getting to the quarterback as well as anybody right now. My thing is this, though. When it comes to the Commanders, and right now they give you the exact number, Washington, third in the National Football League in terms of quarterback pressures, these numbers via NFL Pro through the first 3 weeks. They got to finish, but they get after the opposing team's quarterback. If they can make Atlanta one-dimensional offensively, they should not have a problem stopping them. It should make everything easier for them. I don't know how confident I am in their ability to do that, if I'm being straight up, if I'm being honest.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I want you to answer. What do you think the vibe is in the locker room? You know, they came out against New York. They didn't play lightly. Same thing against Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, we hear these callers, but what about the players?
I think the players are as confident as ever. And just talking to guys in the locker room today, they understand. Talked to Jeremy Reeves for 10, 15 minutes today. All we talked about, it felt like, was we talked about a bunch. But he was really, really keen on the Bijan Robinson thing. Understanding, like this week in particular, and we normally talk about this, right, when we're talking about getting after mobile quarterbacks. With Bijan, gap integrity is so, so important. His ability to stop on a dime and change directions can leave you looking silly if you aren't on your P's and Q's. So I think that is what's most important here in this game. It is keeping Bijan Robinson under wraps. How are they going to do that is the big question. Because, see, if I'm Atlanta, I'm spreading Washington out. Here's the thing. Like, don't let this be a get-right game for Michael Penix. Don't let this be a get-right game for Michael Penix, who has struggled. Because I'll tell you what, the Commanders pass defense through the first couple of weeks of the season hadn't been good enough. This is via our pal Sam Hoppen, ESPN data scientist. He gets his numbers via True Media. The Commanders right now are 26th in terms of yards after the catch allowed. They are 27th in terms of their zone coverage rate. And why is that important? I keep saying it week in and week out. Do you have the horses to play man-to-man coverage consistently? I continue to say it depends on who you go against. When you're going up against Drake London and Darnell Mooney, I don't know how much I trust our guys in man-to-man coverage on the outside against that group. It's all going to be about whether you can get after Michael Penix. That's the key thing. There are some numbers on this Commanders defense that will honestly make you vomit. Through 3 weeks of the season, Washington 28th in terms of yards per pass play allowed. They're 23rd in terms of passing yards per game. They got to get better. But here's an even uglier number via our guy J.P. Finley. Falcons have one touchdown in their last 23 possessions. Their offense is struggling right now. But Washington, if you're Atlanta, you got to be looking at Washington like, is this our get-right game? Can we get right against the Washington Commanders, who are giving up explosive pass plays at just a totally uncomfortable rate right now? Washington is 29th in the National Football League in terms of explosive pass plays allowed. If you're Mike Penix and company, you got to be licking your chops going, okay, let's get it rolling. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Our pal J.P. Finley going to join us coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour. Before we get to our guy J.P., there are a couple of things I want to hash out here. Let's first get to tell Jared if he wants to get on the air, he should talk to me and not you, Wes. Tell him we're trying to get to him immediately. Just throw him on hold. Just cut him off. Literally just throw him on hold. I'm going to throw him on hold if that's the case. Jared, we're trying to put you on, brother. You gotta stop talking to the call screener so you can talk to me, the host, brother. Jared, what do you got?
Hey, good evening, buddy. How you doing?
Good, bro.
Good. This game scares me a little bit for a simple fact. You know how we play against Green Bay. So when we come to this game, we were more prepared. So Falcons, basically, they got embarrassed this past week. So, I mean, they'll be prepared like there's no tomorrow. And the other thing, our defense, you touched on it a minute ago. They pressure the quarterback, but they have to learn how to finish.
Yeah.
They cannot let him come out of that pocket and, you know, complete on the third down especially. And as far as earlier you asked who will be the toughest loss, this week, everybody will say Terry. But I'll say Bet, the tight end.
Yeah.
If he's not playing again, that'll be hard to, recover. Because in this game, I think even if Danny play to protect him, we have to run more because we saw the result of the running last week.
Yeah.
Before I hang up, let me ask you one question.
Yes, sir.
If Cincinnati call and say, give me your backup quarterback in third round and I'll give you Henderson, would you do it?
Hell no. I would. Not at this juncture, yeah, just because Marcus is too important. Appreciate the call as always. JP Finley joins us next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.